welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for June 9th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is my partner and friend, Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Good. Yeah, I'm extra caffeinated today. So if I start buzzing too much, you know, just tell me to slow down.
Well, I'll just take the batteries out.
Wow. No, that won't work. Mike, you ask Michael Church about that.
All right. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Save the Lions reliever Randy Williams. We're going to discuss the Lions managerial situation, interleague, and the impact of the Bay Stars' new acquisition. So let's get started.
Rearing the bases!
Okay, well, this week is my trivia time. My trivia time, Stump John time.
Oh, that's not hard. That should not be the name of this corner.
No, that was like what comes after rock and paper.
Dirt.
Indeed, as proven. Case closed. Okay. So anyway, my chance to fool John. I think this one's so easy. I think I can't fool you. So we had a managing change this week, although not technically. This is what happens in Japan. And
unless you're Terry Collins and you just outright walk out.
Right. Well, this is going to, yeah, indeed. He didn't walk out. He didn't leave the country. The question is, who was the last manager to leave in the middle of the season? And?
Japanese manager.
Well, in Japan, the last manager to leave during the middle of the season. And who took over, which is easy.
Oh, Shigeru Takada of the Yakult Swallows left, and Junji Ogawa took over.
That's right. Well, that's easy because he's still managing.
Yeah, it's right.
They brought him in to keep the seat warm.
Right.
They brought Ogawa in to keep the seat warm for Daisuke Araki, the pitching coach, who they had brought in as the pitching coach so he could be the next manager. Uh-huh. And then Ogawa took him to the playoffs.
And they're like, oops, we can't get rid of this guy.
Yeah, make him the manager, and Araki finally just quit.
Yeah, that is interesting, though. We did have this situation earlier this week. I think it was on Wednesday. The Save the Lions manager, Haruki Ihara, announced cryptically in this press conference after the Lions beat the Yokohama Bay Stars 1-0, he said he was going to take a respite.
Yeah.
He's going to step aside.
Well, he said a cuyo. I don't think he said respite, but it's a leave of absence for health reasons, yeah?
Health reasons, respite, stepping aside. Just come out with it. But anyway, go ahead, because this set up our interview, because you and I were talking about who was going to go and when we were going to go, and I was thinking, well, I could go on Tuesday, and you said you could go on Friday, and that turned out to be perfect because this was after the manager had quit and just before the new manager or the interim manager stepped in. So that was great. So it was good timing. I'm glad you were able to go.
Yeah, it was very convenient. So anyway, I went out to Tokyo Dome on Friday and spoke to Randy Williams of the Cebu Lions. He's in his third year with the Lions, and it was right after Mr. Ihara walked away, and Ihara's reign was kind of interesting because the first thing about it was he wanted a new look, and we talked about this. He wanted players to look old school, high socks, no facial hair, short hair, and so I'm still not quite certain what the Lions were thinking of when they hired him, and I say that I like Ihara. Mm-hmm. First, like we and he and I get along really well, and I we didn't have a long chat this time because everything, he was always kind of in a funk. The Lions have been struggling to score runs despite drawing 202 walks this year, which is the second most in Japan behind the Hanshin Tigers. And although they are no longer the lowest scoring team on the NPB totem pole, the DeNA Bay Stars and the Rakuten Eagles have undercut them now.
Yeah.
But for a while they were the high walking, high bunting, non-scoring Cebu Lions.
Mm.
And one of the our beat reporters said, well, you know, but their results have been good. I said, like, what?
What is good? Define good.
Define good is in.
You mean they haven't lost every game?
No, it's good as the players haven't started committing suicide is good. You know, their mental health is still intact.
Why kill yourself when there's when there are finer targets out there and easier ones to hit?
Well, no. So anyway, so I talked to Randy 2 days after the interim manager Norio Tanabe was named. Tanabe was the Lions shortstop towards the end of their, I guess, their dynasty, as it was sort of dwindling or flaming, sputtering out under Osamu Higashio, and finished his career with 1 year with the Yomiuri Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the new guy, and when I was there, he was saying, blah. Anyway, he was saying, I'm not going to change too much, but we're going to let the players do what they want. And so the rules changed that day.
Right.
In the meeting just before they went on the field, things changed. So, okay, anyway, so I had Randy and I talked about that and some other things, so let's have a listen.
Okay, tonight on our Japan Baseball Weekly podcast, our guest is Randy Williams, a relief pitcher for the Cebu Lions. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, no, it's our pleasure, of course. Now, you've been here, this is your third season, but you were telling me earlier it feels like your first. What's going on? What's up with that?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, every year over here you got to prove yourself. But, you know, when you come in to the same organization but everything's different, you know, you got to kind of, you know, fill it out and find your groove and figure out where your place is. And, you know, so for me, it's been like that from the beginning of the year. You know, I've had to take more of a role of leader as far as the gaijin go because, you know, we got a bunch of new guys and, you know, new interpreter. And, you know, so I'm trying to help them out. And, you know, it's a lot of new faces with staff and with foreign players. So, you know, it's still it's the same team, but it's a little bit different feel.
Yeah, I had, you know, when I saw the guys that were here last year and I noticed that you were still here, it was like there was an evacuation order and nobody told you.
Yeah, you know, that, you know, it's a way, you know, it's a business of baseball.
Sure.
You know, that's a part that I've never really enjoyed. And, you know, it got me a lot of times in the States. And, you know, I kind of thought it was going to get me last year. You know, I actually got, you know, I got given the right to go look elsewhere, or got fired, however you want to look at it, and then ended up signing back with the team. And, you know, I was pretty sure that they would have tried to, you know, keep some of those other guys who had done well. But, you know, when it comes down to the business of baseball and, you know, what people are willing to do and what people aren't willing to do, and, you know, it's sometimes difficult to keep everybody, you know.
Yeah, it is. Well, I talked to, I'm sure you've talked to the other guys too, and they did get offers, but they weren't, you know, other teams had deeper pockets for them. So, and, you know, it's good to see them all doing well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not even just the foreign players, but, I mean, even, you know.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
true.
We lose Kataoka and we lose Wakui. I mean, you know, those are guys that were, you know, integral parts to a lot of the success that we had. And so, whenever you're losing, you know, a couple guys from the back end of a bullpen, you know, a couple guys from the top four in the order, you know, it changes the complexity of things and definitely makes for, you know, a different situation coming forth with new guys having to step up.
Well, let me ask, speaking of Wakui, and you mentioned a couple of guys from the back of the bullpen, and I have to think you're thinking about Wakui as a reliever. Now, he wanted to start. I mean, if you were the manager, would you want him to stay as a reliever? Because he was really good at it.
You know, of course, you always want the guy happy, especially a young guy like that has so much to offer. But, you know, give a guy an opportunity. But that being said, let him pitch somewhere. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'd rather have him on my team as a starter than as a starter for somebody else, I guess. But you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, back to the original thing, you know, it's a business decision, and you know, that's if other teams think that they can make a fit for him, that's better than the fit that we have for him. And like you said, deeper pockets, and you know, that's just the way it works out.
Yeah, and but the other side is that it's always good to be wanted. And obviously the other teams made him feel welcome.
Yeah, and you know, we don't know the whole situation as to what goes on. I mean, you don't know in the States when you know the language, but whenever, you know, I don't know the language, and, you know, you just know that, you know, sometimes after being somewhere for, you know, a certain amount of time, it, you know, you want a different experience. You want something new. You feel like you're not as appreciated maybe as you used to be. And, you know, sometimes it's good to just get that fresh start.
Well, you got a different experience this year because Watanabe Hisanobu managed the Lions since 2008. He stepped down, which was a shock to me. I don't know. Were you surprised about that?
Not really. I mean, coming over here, I saw it in other places. Heard about it. You know, a lot of managers that basically they do their run and you know. When their time's up, their time's up, and it, you know, you kind of almost know it's coming. You know, you kind of feel it that, you know, especially listening to other players and stuff talk about how, you know, at some point managers just go. It doesn't matter if they're doing well or bad or whatever. And you know, I'm assuming, you know, having, you know, as many years as he played and coached and managed, you know, it doesn't surprise me when somebody that's been successful for a majority of their life just wants to sit back and take a breath. You know, I think he's kind of earned it.
Yeah, it can be a long haul. How about you? Sometimes you think it'd be nice to sit back and, you know, enjoy family life and...
Yeah, you know, it definitely would, and that's actually the reason that I worked so hard to come over here and do this. You know, playing so many years in the States, being basically a 4A player, or missing basically the first 5 years of my career being injured. You know, I was kind of behind the eight ball from the beginning, and, you know, just basically trying to play every year just to support the family, and, you know, my wife actually having to work to support me and my career. So, you know, it's one of those things where it'd be great to be with my family, but even playing over here, I get to see my family as much as I did whenever I was playing at home. Because it doesn't matter if you're 14 hours away or, you know, 4 or 5 hours away on a plane. It's just not something that with three kids is feasible to, you know, to try to work out every few weekends. So, you know, it's not a bad situation for me, but, you know, it's good to have an opportunity to come over here and play and still make money and support my family.
Yeah, I would think so. And obviously, there's always, you know, when you come in and there's, you said there's uncertainty every year. You never know how things are going to change from year to year. Now, what were some of the changes this year to the Lions and this team?
Well, I mean,
with the new manager,
you lose a manager, get a new manager in that's, you know, a lot more old school. You know, definitely with the, you know, trying to take it to the more of the, you know, the New York Yankees or the Giants or the upper echelon teams that, you know, are the most famous in the two countries. And when you try to aspire to bring your team to that level, you know, it brings in a set of rules and a set of regulations that, you know, we haven't had here. And, you know, it leads to a little bit of, you know, I think grumbling early on. I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't, but, you know, it's one of those deals that, you know, in any situation you're in, it doesn't matter how good it is, you want it to be better. And you know, once you get used to it,
right,
you get used to it, you know? I mean, it's just one of those deals. But it's definitely been a, you know, it was a little bit different going from one type of manager to another.
Okay, just for the listeners, one of the, I guess, the two most obvious changes for fans was the long socks and no facial hair. But Randy, who had a fairly substantial beard, when he came here, I thought it looked like a Confederate Civil War general had that those locks going on. That he looks like he got a head start on the new one.
Well, you know, I mean, we had a day off.
Okay.
You know, I didn't know what the rule was going to be, but I figured that I might as well play it on the safe side and let it start growing just in case. And you know, from this moment, I don't think I'll be cutting it for a while. As I was told today, that rule is no longer in effect. So you know,
okay.
I get to have my goatee back and feel a lot more comfortable, hopefully.
All right. So you were talking earlier, and you said that you junked your cutter. I thought that was kind of interesting. When was the decision? When did you decide to do that?
Pretty much when they quit calling it. You know, I got tired of working on something that they don't, you know, that the catcher didn't want me to throw. And as a lefty reliever, you know, you really don't need five pitches.
Yeah.
So whenever I got the slider and realized the effectiveness of my slider, and realized that the cutter wasn't as good of a pitch here as it is in the States, especially in the big leagues in the States, with that ball and those types of hitters, you know, it just became pretty evident whenever the catcher quit calling it and I wasn't having much success with it that I'd better stick with the other pitches.
So as a lefty, you don't need five pitches. I think you just ruled yourself out as a future of a Japanese pitching coach here.
Hey, I said you don't need. Doesn't mean you can't have. I mean, I still use every finger.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes these guys, it's like, you know, they got to have a splitter. They got to have a... Now, of course, most of the guys have change-ups, which is kind of something they didn't have in Japan 10 years ago. So they still throw a shoot, which is, to me, is just a two-seamer.
Just flat. Flat two-seamer, basically.
Flat two-seamer, right.
The sinker just runs. Yeah. At least that's what I think.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. So... Anyway, now, how has your adjustment been? Now, you said the first year here was very, you know, it was a very difficult adjustment in terms of the team's expectations. Now, I just want to go back in time because here you're coming to Japan to get a chance to play, you know, where it seems things would be simpler in terms of less, you know, less outside, you know, whether you're going to be in AAA or the major leagues. And you come to Japan and it's like, here I go again. What was that?
That's exactly what happened. You know, coming over here, I'm thinking, you know, I want to go somewhere where I'm wanted and where they want me to pitch in the situations that I like pitching in, which is close games, you know, maybe coming into a game with runners on or whatever. But, you know, to come here and immediately go to the minor leagues, that wasn't fun. It was like deja vu. I was like, wait a minute, I flew a really long ways to go back to the minor leagues. But, you know, the fact of the matter is basically anything they've told me I needed to work on and I have worked on has benefited me. So as much as I wanted to think that I knew everything when I got here, or maybe not everything, but as much as I needed,
yeah,
there is some truth to the fact that you need that extra pitch. And you need to be quicker to the plate to play over here. So yeah. It is true.
Yeah, I think now that I remember what you talking to John, because I remember talking about slide step and that discussion with the coaches, and that turned out to be a pretty good development for you.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the end of my career. I mean, I could not figure that out. I could not figure out how to generate any sort of power with an abbreviated delivery to the
right.
plate. And I think I just developed it out of anger and frustration. So, you know, it got to the point where I was like, just do it. You know, okay. Just do it. And it's progressed to the point where I don't hear about it anymore. So
okay.
I don't know that I do it well, but I don't hear about it. So as long as I'm not hearing about it, I'm assuming I'm doing it well.
Okay, now what's your lesson? Now, obviously, Japan has kind of become a prime destination for so many players who are up and down and up and down and, you know, let me get out of this. Let me go to Japan and just play baseball. What would be your advice to some guy who's in that situation, who's in 3A and, you know, doesn't know what's going on?
Well, if it's a left-handed pitcher, I'd advise him to wait until I'm finished.
Okay. Well, that's sound advice, because there ain't no place for you, buddy. Randy's got that job taken here.
Don't come take my job from me just yet. But, no, if you come over here with an open mind, and you really, if you have the ability to do it, and you come over here with an open mind. A lot of people say they have an open mind. But just come over here with an open mind and, you know, pay attention to some of the guys that have been here and have done it and what it takes to actually cope
okay.
with a new lifestyle and the new, you know, theories on how the game is played.
Sure.
You know, it can be a wonderful place to play, you know. If I have my choice, this is where I'd rather be, you know?
So is Japan's a good test for, you know, if you think your mind's really open, if you think you're really mentally tough to handle kind of inconsistent and strange answers, come to Japan, see how it really
is? Yeah, it's a test. I mean, you know, I never thought I was open-minded, but I played winter ball and I had those experiences. And, you know, I'm also a very logical person, so that was very difficult for me when I came over here and had to, you know, realize that there's more than one kind of logic, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, but if you got an open mind and you come over here and you know, you can adapt and you're talented, you can become a better baseball player over here.
Okay, now I'm just going to go back to focus on the team a little bit. Now, saw a lot of smiles today, and hopefully the team will loosen up and move forward from this. As the manager, the interim manager, Norio Tanabe, was saying, hey, we're in last place. We can't get worse. We got places to go. So does this team have places to go? Is a playoff spot very
You know, I've never been a long-term guy, you know.
Okay.
My stats at the end of the season can't be controlled by what I do tonight. And
right.
I don't think our team's, you know, focus should be that far away, but... You know, if this team, regardless of who came in and who left, you know, this team has always been interesting.
Mm.
We've always figured it out and then struggled a little bit and then figured it out and struggled. You know, so, you know, we've been struggling a little bit. But the nucleus of this team and the way these guys, you know, interact with each other and all that, this is a team that can win. You know, there's a lot of individuals in this league. But, you know, talking to other guys that are on other teams and being around this team, the team atmosphere has always been really, really good here.
Okay. Well, that's something to move forward with, then.
I mean, we've got the people to do it. It's just a matter of doing it. I mean, and as long as everybody can be healthy and everybody does their job and we don't, you know, screw up things that shouldn't be screwed up,
okay,
we got a chance.
Okay, screw up the things that shouldn't be screwed up. Wait, it's already been happening.
I'm not going there.
Okay. All right, well, thanks a lot, and look forward to having you on the show again.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks again, Randy. It was great to hear from you. I'm glad I recalled John's earlier interview a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this was the first time you got to interview him for the show, so this was good.
Well, it was good because we were talking about that, and I was searching my mind for what the last one, and then we got into the slide step, and I'm going, okay, now I remember John was asking about that.
Right.
So anyway, what did that talk stir around in your gray cells there, Mr. Gibson?
The gray cells. You make them sound like they're dead.
I didn't mean to say that. Per se.
There we go. Well, first of all, thanks a lot. That was a really, really good chat. Thanks a lot for going out and doing it. And
it's too much fun. I kept rolling over laughing.
Yeah, you
kept popping the microphone.
And Randy's always really good to talk to. He's really frank. He's to the point, and he's intelligent, and he's articulate. And it's really fun to talk to a guy like that who's going to give you and tell you what they feel, because I don't think he really holds back. And that was really good. But here's some key words that came out in the interview. Now, he didn't necessarily stress them or say them in this order or anything, but these are the words that grabbed me as I was listening.
Watch out for the words that grab you, John Gibson.
Right. He said old school. He said rules. He said regulations. And he said grumbling. And you know, as I was listening, and you know, I talked to him, and we agreed, you know, I talked to him last year about this team after I did an interview with him. I said, look, this team really is built to win in 2014. And yes, the manager, Hisanobu Watanabe, walked away after they lost in the playoffs last year. Then they lost Hideaki Wakui, their starting pitcher, as he mentioned. They lost Yasuyuki Kataoka. They lost Esteban Herman. Those are three main cogs who I understand why they left. That's a big collection of talent, though, and it left a big hole. And I think certainly some of the other guys are underperforming, and that's why maybe they're 14 games under 500. And it hurts to say that, 14 games under 500, because I picked this team to finish in the playoffs. I still thought that they could fight past the manager's rules and the regulations and the old school. I didn't know there was going to be that much grumbling. But anyway, so he said, look, guys, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. You know, guys are getting used to it. You're supposed to play. Mm-hmm. And I just think most of the key guys on that roster are not performing. Now, whether it was Ihara's fault or whether he wasn't preparing them the right way, I can't say. All I know is it just seems like he was out of touch, because if players are saying, you know, grumbling and rules and regulations and old school, that shouldn't be a focus of guys right now in the year 2014 to go ahead and progress and take a team that's talented enough to win and drive it into the basement in the Pacific League. I mean, somewhere somebody went wrong. And, you know, that being said, I think the manager's job, I know it's not that difficult. I'm sorry, I know it's not that easy. And we always want to make it seem like it's the easiest job on earth. You know, just get the guy to run from first base to second base, play hit and run. You know, don't bunt all the time. But it's not that easy. Your job is to motivate. It's to prepare your players, study your opponents, and try to put your players in position to do well. I think if you simplify the job, that's basically what it is. But there's a lot more to it. You've got personalities to manage. You've got dynamics with your players. You've got dynamics with the coaches. You've got dynamics with the front office and how to use the players and all these things are going on. So it seems like the easiest thing you can do is not interfere with the talent. And I don't think Ihara...
Easier said than done, but yep.
Yeah, I just don't think he was letting the talent shine and show off, you know, what it can do. So when Randy says grumbling, that really struck me, and I think that was the biggest thing. I don't know if he was,
well, he was saying
grumbling
that
or
there,
who
he was saying there wasn't a lot of grumbling. He said even though I didn't grumble, or but yeah, of course he was talking about people grumbling. So I mean, it was an issue.
Yeah,
grumbling
yeah.
or not grumbling or not.
Right, and when he said he doesn't speak the language, so I mean it's not like he's getting the information firsthand all the time. But I mean, you can see the looks on guys' faces. You can read the body language. And you can read the attitude, and you can probably see a difference between attitude last year and the, you know, this is third year, so the past 2 years, as opposed to this year. So I think you can read all that stuff. You don't have to be able to speak the language all that much to be able to figure out what's going on. So those are the things that, I mean, you know, Randy's a great guy. When I talked to him before, he said, hey, throw strikes. You know, and when I asked him for advice for one of the listeners who asked me to ask him, he said, throw strikes. And he's doing better. I like what he's doing this year. He's having 1, 2, 3 innings more so than he did before. His numbers are fairly good. He's not perfect. Nobody is, and he's doing well. So I still think this team could come back and make a run at a playoff spot. I don't know if that it could reach that far up, but you know, 14 games under is a lot to be at this stage of the game.
Well, yeah, but. On the other hand, it's still 14 games under with, you know, basically 90 games to play.
Right. There's still a lot of stretch where you can get above water. They're 8 wins behind the Fighters, if you look at it that way. The Fighters have 29 wins. Sabre has 21. So, I mean, that's quite doable to reach third place. They could go on a stretch and win more and go even higher, but I just think it needs to change. But those are the things that really stuck out for me. It was a great chat. I could talk about everything that you guys talked about. It was awesome.
I was thinking, yeah, I guess on the same wavelength. The thing that got me was that this whole bit about being, you know, he'll be more comfortable pitching with his beard.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what? I don't care. I don't care whether he's more comfortable pitching with his beard or with a dime in his left shoe.
Mm.
It doesn't matter to me. But the point is, comfort, therefore, is an issue.
Yeah. Well, if it matters to him, then it matters.
Right. Exactly. Now, the manager pushed at least him, and I'm guessing a bunch of people, out of their comfort zones, which is, by itself is okay. Because you want to motivate and you want to encourage and you want to get people to do different things. But if you do that, you know, if you have that stick, you need a carrot, you need a direction.
Mm-hmm.
You need something for them to, okay, we're going to go old school and we're going to do it this way and for this purpose and we're going to, you know, if there's a reason behind it, if there's a logical progression from this is the way we're going to look, this is the way we're going to play, this is, you know, we're going to instill fear in the hearts of men or Central League teams or whatever. If there's a plan, then that works. If there's something that people get on board with, then that's okay. But if it's just about rules, that's a problem. So the superficial stuff was kind of, I'm getting this vibe, superficial rules was just a divisive, just became divisive. I don't think that was the plan, but it became divisive and a distraction. The rules became bigger than they should have been, as you said.
Well, that's what now, I felt. Interference, I felt counterproduction, I felt a lot of things. I didn't think he was assisting and facilitating, and that's what you want to do.
And I think there are things he can do, but I think, I've said that all in the past, and I don't need to repeat myself today. I'll argue myself later. Okay, one of the things that I kind of liked was his talking about the team attitude. You know, I said, like, you know, the teams now, can they move forward? He says, yeah, like, we have a great group. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting thing. He really likes playing for the Lions. And the talk about the group and losing key parts. Now, this is the other problem with the manager. And I think the issue with the manager doesn't reflect, you know, as I said earlier, I wondered why they picked Ihara in the first place. It was a bad sign. He had been divisive when he was with the Lions in 2002 and 2003. He was divisive with Oryx. I mean, but, you know, head coaches can be divisive. Head coaches can be sergeant majors, drill sergeants. Managers, that's a really fine line. They have to be sort of like, they have to be sort of the good cop. In Japan, typically, the bad cop is the head coach and the good cop is the manager. Unless you're Senichi Hoshino, then you're, you know, then you're I don't know what, RoboCop or something. Right. You're evil.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe they were looking for lightning in a bottle. Like they got, what was it, 2002 when he took over?
Yes.
And maybe they were hoping it could happen again. But that stint only lasted 2 years, right?
That stint lasted 2 years. And despite all that, it's a good group. Okay, but what I'm saying is that if the front office is hiring this guy who's been divisive, and the front office is allowing all these players to go, I would get the feeling that this good cohesive group is sensing the front office really isn't in a win this year mode. And the problem, one of the things about any sport, you know, is you have to have the sense that everybody's pulling their weight. Yep. And that's not just the players, but the manager in the front office. And I think this is a problem that happened with Japan's WBC squad. You know, if the best manager they can find is some guy, you know, is the only guy who wasn't fast enough to run away. Koji Yamamoto, because he's got bad knees. And, you know, then you have to think, well, what's in it for me? Why should I risk injury to myself, take time away from my personal life and my preparation from my main job to help this half-hearted effort from the people who are running the show? And I think that's a problem if you don't respect the manager. And I don't think people lacked respect for Ihara. I think they lacked respect for the rules, but I think it was more of, could have been the front office, you know, that they really not, they didn't have their hearts in it this year. And okay, they're kind of playing it by ear, so I'm toning it down and it sets a bad tone.
Yeah.
So maybe that will change, but I'm not certain it will. I hope it does. I like a lot of the guys on the Lions. I think a lot of the captain, Takumi Kuriyama, there's a bunch of good players on there. So anyway, the other thing that was kind of interesting was that he said he thinks playing in Japan makes you a better player.
Yeah, and I you know, the slide step thing, I think it just adds more detail, and I, that's what I picked up on that, because he just seemed like he had never really been concerned about where the runners were, because he was always coming in with guys on base anyway, and it was a matter of concentrating on the guy with the stick in his hands, that's the guy who can hurt you, so don't worry about those guys running around on the base so much. But it seemed like he's got more appreciation for the finer points of the game, and that's what I took away from that comment there.
Well, I think it is valid. I mean, you know, the first person one of the first people who told me that, interestingly enough, was Gabe Kapler when I interviewed him in 2005. And I guess it really helped, you know, because he played 38 games here. And then he went back to the States and played 362 more in the big leagues after that. So I think, he had it in a little bottle. He was taking a double dose of that. Japanese baseball is good for you. His thing was that it'll give you more adjustments, you know, dealing with variety, dealing with a different way of approach to the game will give you more resources when you go back to the States. And I think that has been true. I think it's a very interesting mindset, but I think this is working out. And I think what's going on here is that variation is the mother of evolution. You know, you need all these different resources. You need all these different directions to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one thing doesn't work, you pick up an idea from something somewhere else that does, and if it catches on, you have growth. The variation is the mother of evolution. You know, it's not as catchy as the mothers of invention, and that's why it was rejected by Frank Zappa as a band name. But you know, I think it works in baseball.
All right. Well, hopefully they can work a little bit better in baseball under their new manager. Now let's talk about him a little bit. Now, well, first of all, the Ihara interview, and I saw it on TV. I'm sorry, it wasn't an interview, it was a press conference, and I saw a little bit of it, or enough of it. And you know, I'm tired of these guys coming out and say, well, yeah, I'm gonna step away or step aside from the game. And I mean, it's code word for I quit. And the president came on, and I saw a quote from him in the paper saying, well, there's no timetable for a return, so we don't expect him to return. And and they tried to persuade him to stay on, and his mind was made up. I'm like, well, then why don't you just say he's quitting? What is this, you know, hiatus? What is this respite thing? I don't get it. I don't like it.
It's custom. Yeah, it's
I
custom.
Know. But, I mean, it's when Terry Collins show. Did it, they strung him up. And they said, oh, how could you leave in the middle of a season? And then since then, I think, oh, yeah, with the DNA-based stars, he was hanging on a thread for a while. And he said, I guess he came out and said, look, I'm going to step away. But why can the Japanese manager just step away in mid-season and say, he said all the things that you say when you are quitting, you know, I want to accept the fact that I'm not, he didn't say, he didn't make that customary statement that I'm going to take responsibility for our losing and I'm going to walk away. He just said, I'm going to take a break. I don't know.
Well, we had the best story about the guys taking the leave of absence, ostensibly for health reasons. It's for, you know, it's for health leave, essentially, which is what Senichi Hoshino is doing now, because he actually has a health issue.
Right.
The is, you know, was in the late 80s, Mr. Sudo, former, he was the manager of the Taiyo Whales, now the DNA Bay Stars. And in his second season, he took a leave of absence for health reason, in the middle of Golden Week, which is about 6 weeks, five or six weeks into the season. And they asked what they do when a manager quits with
right.
a Q. They ask all the other 11 managers their opinion. And Masahiko Mori, then the manager of the Cebu Lions towards the end of their dynasty, said, it's a, you know, Golden Week's a little early to get sick, don't you think?
Yeah, you got to wait until at least September.
Yeah, one would think. That's when most managers tend to get ill.
Well, look, I saw the little presser that Tanabe had before his first game.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, we have a lot of young players here. I'm going to let them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can just keep the course and get on the winning track. And I think that's good. I'm going to call him, by the way, you know, the former manager up until last year was Hisanobu Watanabe. And mm-hmm. so this is Tanabe. So I'm going to call him Nabe 2 because Watanabe, the previous manager, his nickname was Nabe Q. So I'm calling this one Nabe 2. And it was
okay if you like. I'm okay with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, I mean, they do have a lot of young players. They're very talented. Just like Randy said, I think they can make a run. We'll have to see. I don't think he's going to be that different, except that the rule is it'd just be a lot looser atmosphere, because I think they're going to do the same kinds of things.
Well, they're the same kind of team. They can't, you know, they're going to draw a zillion walks. They just might be a little more relaxed and a little more focused on their jobs instead of about what things, you know, how thinking about how things aren't. I think the players were focused on their jobs. I don't think it was a conscious effort to quit or to play down. I mean, they've got work to do and they're professionals. But I think it's a subconscious thing, you know. It's like, okay, when you need that extra effort, you know, sometimes it just ain't there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, talking about where the Lions might go, Randy mentioned, you know, all the losses. He didn't mention them by name other than the two guys, Kataoka and Wakui. Now, to be honest, and you know I'm not a big fan of Wakui's, I'm a big fan of his ability.
Mm.
I'm not certain, because he was a guy who, he caught Uehara disease, which is, he was really good as a reliever.
Right.
But he pouted when he didn't start.
Mm.
And I'm not certain that it really hurts them. In fact, it's probably a good thing that he's starting in the Pacific League, because that keeps the, you know, that keeps him from being really useful. So, but Kataoka is a guy who I don't really like his numbers that he brings to a game. But he is he's not real fun with the media anymore. He's not very frank with the media anymore. But with the teammates, he was always a big part of that team. When he's healthy, I think he really helped them. Even if he didn't play particularly well, I think they always played better when he was around. I think he kept everybody loose. I don't know what the dynamics were of there, but that was the feeling I got with the Lions. Now, you know, what feeling's worth is, you can get a feeling for a couple of yen.
Yeah,
it's not worth anything.
You gotta have heart, buddy.
He plays
with that. But yeah, I'm not sure that he's adding a lot. He's not starting every day with the Giants, and it still seems like they're in search of a second baseman. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go and get another Cuban player to come in and play second base.
probably will.
But obviously those guys are not there with the Lions, and it hurts. So yeah, Randy didn't mention them by name in the interview, but we know who they are, and we know what they meant to the team because we saw them every day.
And just remember, left-handed pitchers, no need to apply.
Right. Stay away. The key to that was he didn't say for how much longer.
As long as he's still breathing, you know, as long as he's got bills to pay and mortgages on, you know, he'll... Yeah, give Randy some respect, man.
All right. Well, thanks again, Randy, and thanks to you, Jim, for going out to do the interview.
My pleasure. Always a good time.
All right. I wanted to talk about the Bay Stars and their new addition, Yulieski Gurriel of Cuba. He played for the first time on Sunday in his debut, which was delayed by rainouts. Was a shining success, if I might say, finally, because it didn't rain.
And
he had three hits on Sunday, including a double, and they won, and he played third base. Now, my question to you, or what I want to get into with this topic, is how do you see his addition or his acquisition impacting the infield and I jokingly said the stable instability of DNA because they're consistently unstable.
Well, yeah, of course. And I mean, they've got a good core of quality players, but again, it goes back to, you know, the bit about the manager being an issue. When you know the manager's an idiot, it's hard to. And hey, look, I'm being honest. I don't dislike Nakahata, but I don't want to say he's not a rocket scientist because I'm not a rocket scientist, but he's just not that smart. He's a feel guy. He's limited.
Yeah,
he's limited, and everybody knows that. I mean, the players can't be lost. It can't be like something that everybody sees, but the players. They're not all of them, at least.
Yeah, they know what's up,
right? Sure they. So they've got a third baseman who can also play short and second. Now the problem is the team's captain plays at second base,
right?
And
well, here was the first issue, and I think they solved that right away. Guillermo Moscoso was one of the four foreigners who was listed on the top team, and they just sent him to the farm to make room. But this was even before Gurriel was actually ready to play.
Sure.
I think it was injury related.
Because he's a pitcher.
Yeah, but you can only have four on the top roster, and he...
Well, they only have four.
He was sent down. He was sent down. So they had cleared space for him anyway. And I was trying to figure out who they were going to move because Sosa has been doing really well. Jorge Sosa, the sometimes closer, the reliever, and then they have Tony Blanco and Aaron Balderese. And Balderese is really good at third. He can probably play some first base. Blanco is pretty good with the bat. He's not a great first baseman. It's good that that Gurriel came along during the interleague session so that they could actually DH Blanco, but they didn't DH him this particular day, and they were playing at home where they're using the DH rule, and Blanco didn't play. Gurriel played at third. Balderese played at first. It just, you know, you said his best position is supposedly third base. Now, if you're going to move your captain off the field, this is something I heard on the radio, and Kazuhiro Sasaki, who used to pitch with Yokohama, said, if you think about it, you could possibly have Balderese at third, Gurriel at either second or short, and Blanco at first, said the infield is Spanish-speaking. And he said, and he jokingly said, I'm sure he was joking, but he said, whoa, the pitcher's going to be in trouble if that's the case. Everybody's in Spanish, speaking Spanish, and he's, and I'm like, well, I thought, well, you'd be fine.
Not if it's one Tony guy. Sosa. He'd be cool.
You, that's right. If Sosa's on the mound, then you don't have to worry about it, right?
then the shortstop will be one.
But I don't know. I just think this is going to throw off the rhythm of the players. They don't know where they're going to play. Unless they're just planning to dump somebody, then they don't know when they're going to play or where. And it's, I mean, that worked with Bobby Valentine and the Marines, especially in 2005. But I'm not sure that that's a good idea for the Yokohama Bay Stars in this day and age.
Well, I mean, they could always use the John Gibson answer.
Have roles for everybody.
No. Oh. Make the first baseman who can't play first base the catcher.
Now, come on.
Because you've got to play him somewhere. Make Blanco a catcher. Okay.
Oh, I only said that about, who was it I said it about?
Takayama. You should make the guy who can't play defense a catcher because we have to play him. Well, you have to play him first base is the place. Okay. So basically, Gurriel's going to end up in one of the short, I think he can play shortstop, to be honest. I think he can play shortstop in NPB.
You know what I thought? Put him in the outfield.
You could, and then you'd have...
Put him in left field.
Which is where Tsutsugo plays, yeah?
Look, I think left field is fine. I don't think they have a set outfield, but okay.
Tsutsugo is coming along. I think he's finally, he's beginning to turn a corner after that year, that layoff, and Kajitani's in right.
Kajitani's in right, but that's why I said put him in left. I think he's fine. I think he can play the outfield. But anyway, getting back to where you were going, go ahead.
Well, no, I think shortstop is feasible. I would probably rather have him at shortstop than Ishikawa, the captain. I think Ishikawa settled in at second base. He's doing a fairly good job there. That would be my plan. But again, it's a quality acquisition, I think. And I think the value of Gurriel is that, you know, he's a lively, popular, attractive guy, and I think his good nature will help to take their minds off of having Nakahata as the manager. I think gotta help, babe.
Well,
oh, we have a team with a future. Okay, we can just play.
Yeah, I just I'd be interested to hear Michael Westbay's take on this too, because I didn't think they needed a guy at that position. Although they are not scoring runs, we always talk about how the Bay Stars have been a high run producing team, especially the past 3 years, but at the moment they are not. So I think they needed somebody to give them a shot in the arm offensively. So I'm
he's a good power hitter. He's gonna, you know, he's a high average, high guy with power who can play an infield, a middle infield position. So that's some value.
Yeah,
I think that's some big value. I think they're gonna find a way to play him. Now I'm afraid it might be at the considering that Aram Valdiris has been a 300 hitter since the Tigers decided to get rid of him, and he's batting .256. So I think Nakahata is gonna give him the Alex Ramirez treatment. Well, .256, we can't play it.
Yeah, well.
Aram Valdiris might be looking for a team that needs a third baseman next year.
Hmm. All right, well, we shall see. Good luck with them, and good luck to Ulieski. He looked good on his first day. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Interleague a little bit. Now, what's up with the Carp, man? You gave us that stat, I don't even remember what it was, 4-game difference over 9 years or whatever it was, and I say simply, look at all the Central League teams, and they have the worst record against the PL.
They have the worst record, period.
They're
bad at Interleague.
They're drowning. Yeah. Fish shouldn't drown. Fish are friends. Save the fish. I mean, what's up with this team? And I was looking at them the other day. They pitched poorly. At the game today, they pitched poorly. They played poor defensively, and they didn't hit. And this was, that's, of course, that's just one game. But consistently, they haven't been pitching well. Is it preparation? Are they not preparing well? Are they just mistake prone when it comes to playing the Pacific League teams? Preparation? Do they not like the outdoor games? Do they not like the domes? I can't figure it out. They're losing every which way and everywhere.
Okay. No, I don't know what it is, but it seems to be systematic. I mean, it seems to be a systematic issue that they've essentially been a bad interleague team, and they don't have an answer yet. Now, teams have turned that around. The Dragons started the first year, they were a terrible interleague team, and after that, they've been pretty good. The Swallows, I was mentioning to my colleague Dave Houston today, that the Swallows, of course, are the team with the best record in interleague compared to against their own league. And I think a lot of that is Shohei Tateyama, who just, you know, he lived for interleague. He couldn't wait for interleague.
Right.
So that's not helping him this year, or last year for that matter, but they've been good at interleague. So as for the Central League, I don't know what's up with the Carp. I really don't have a clue, but they haven't played well. Now,
4-11.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll see. You know, interleague will be over in a couple of weeks, and they'll probably go back to being in the car, and then you know, and then that's good enough.
Yeah, you can only
so
yeah.
So anyway, you know, you left a comment. You know, the Dragons surprising. Yeah, I think what's surprising is the Dragons is that they've basically scored as many runs as they've allowed, and they've won four more games than they've lost.
Yeah,
and in interleague, and the Bay Stars are the same. And the Giants are the same. You look at the Pacific League teams, and they're just crushing, except they're not winning. So, you know, this thing happens. That's, you know, I hate to keep beating the dead ferret or whatever it is. Sometimes you score a lot of runs, and, you know, you score a lot of runs, and you don't give up a lot of runs, but you just don't win games. Things just don't, you know, your timing is bad, your luck is bad, you know, your mojo is bad or whatever. And that happens. But that's, you know, I'm not convinced that the Central League's a better league this year because they've won a couple of games, because they ain't been scoring. They've just won a few more games.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, the Dragons, their ERA in interleague is second best, but it's not great at 2.76. It's just good enough. And like you said,
Yeah, well, the top three teams in the Central League and Interleague play, the Dragons were leading, and the Bay Stars and the Giants are each one game back of them.
Between them, they've
scored exactly as many runs as they've allowed, but between them, they're 10 games over 500.
Yeah. I mean, the Dragons are 9-5, and this is through Sunday's games, and the Giants and Buffaloes each have 9 wins, so it's not like they're running away. But,
no.
You know, I've obviously followed the Dragons, especially when it comes to Interleague, and I've seen them have a good stretch once like this before. I don't remember what year. I think it was about 3 years ago. And then all of a sudden, they fell off right after that second rotation. So, you know, they're 14 games, 15 games in. I'll look for them to start to fall off or have some really good success. We'll have to see, but it's just weird. It's weird how the Carp are not, you know, and I picked Hiroshima as far as who I thought would probably do well in the interleague. You picked SoftBank, and I picked Hiroshima and Oryx to do well in interleague play, and I'm just embarrassed that I picked the Carp to do well. I thought they were going to break out of this thing. Now, the Buffaloes are not doing poorly.
They're scoring. They're playing good ball.
They've got the best ERA.
They're just doing what, you know, they're just not having the best of luck, I think. I don't know there's a better answer than that.
I don't think so, but I also think that you talked about luck, and I talked about the fact that they start some guys, that give some guys spot starts once in a while, and especially in interleague, and they actually, this kid Daiki Tome, he pitched fairly well against the Dragons when he started against them, and he pitched great yesterday against the Hanshin Tigers, so.
That could be, you know, I was thinking about that a little bit today because the Bay Stars, of course, the Bay Stars went into interleague, and all of a sudden they've got Shoichi Ino.
Ino, yeah.
Right, and he went 4-0 in May. And Shun Yamaguchi, who would have thunk it?
Nobody.
They took him. He walks 15 guys. I'm off the top of my head here. 15 guys in 15 innings as a reliever, and then they put him in. You know, what kind of a trade is this? You take a guy with a 7.62 ERA, 13 walks in 13 innings, 13 strikeouts in 13 innings, you say, that's the guy I want in my starting rotation.
Right.
And he goes 2-0 with five walks in 16 innings. So it's like...
And one run allowed?
And I was saying, this is, you know, it's amazing. You know, what a deal. You take your worst reliever and you make it... Well, he wasn't their worst reliever, but you take a mediocre... unconfident reliever, and you make him a solid starting pitcher. I think that only in interleague, because the guys don't see you.
Right.
So I think that's where you're going with that. I suspect.
Yeah. I mean, guys getting these spot starts have been able to do well, and hopefully we can get away with one. All right. A couple notes. One was Tetsuya Yamaguchi of the Yomiuri Giants recorded his 200th hold this week, and now I say, if he gets to 250 holds, should he be considered for the Golden Players Club, which is for pitchers who have at least 200 wins or 250 saves, and position players who reach or surpass 2,000 hits? And obviously we didn't talk about it before the show, but I mailed you about it. I sent you a message about it, and you said no.
No.
And I kind of agree with you, but then again, this what is holding him out? The fact that he doesn't pitch in the ninth inning? Because work as guys who would have had 250 saves. He just doesn't play a different inning.
Yes and no. It is the same work. And Yamaguchi is a special pitcher.
He is, because you remember Mark Kroon used to be a closer with the Yokohama Bay Stars and the Giants, and when he was there, he was always raving about Yamaguchi, saying he's the best in the league at what he does.
Yamaguchi can be a closer, he can be a setup guy, he can be a long reliever. They wanted to make him a starter, which I thought, it didn't work, but I thought it was a great idea. I mean, the thing with Yamaguchi and the thing with saves, the thing with holds is this, there's one win in a game. There can only be one save in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be as many holds as, you know, you can hold up fingers in a game.
Well, it's just a stat at the end of the game. It doesn't matter if it's a save or a hold. If
you can give them to a basket full of guys. I mean, you could have, you can get holds when you lose. You can get holds when you win. They're cheaper. In the sense that there are more of them. There's inflation. They're not the same value as a save.
I disagree. I mean, just because there are more ways to distribute them, let's put it that way.
There are more of them, yes.
Than there are saves. And what's the difference? You come in and get three outs. And what if you pitch your whole career? Let's play his whole career out as a middle relief guy who comes in and gets maybe 350 holds, as opposed to somebody like Iwase who comes in, he gets 350 saves.
Okay, I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is this.
Okay.
No, the difference is this, is that only one guy can get a save. And the guy is going to get, and this is a...
But here's what I'm saying.
I'm saying the workload is the same.
Yeah, because if you add up the guy's career innings, let's say one guy throws 500 innings, the other guy throws 525 innings, but here's a guy with the saves at the end of the game, and here's a guy with the holds. Why are we giving so much more value to... I mean, they did the same work. And even we were just talking about a stat and how we issue the stat to the guys.
Right.
You didn't pitch the ninth inning, so you get a hold. You pitch the ninth inning, so you get a save.
But what I'm saying
is the same work.
Yeah, it is the same work, but it's not distributed the same way. Now, what I mean by this is that basically, if a guy gets a lot of saves... And I'm gonna almost make a John Gibson argument here.
Watch yourself.
Okay, so everybody just kind of keep your head down and don't try to seek too much logic here.
Use your heart.
Have heart. Take heart. What I'm saying is the team is putting in an expectation on you that you are the closer as opposed to a setup guy. Okay, just suspend disbelief for a second.
Okay.
Anyway, you're in a position where you're the guy getting the saves if you're going to get a lot of them. And if you're getting a hold, you are not going to be the guy, although it can happen where one guy is getting the bulk of the saves. It sometimes does. I mean, with the Giants right now, Yamaguchi, or at least last year, Yamaguchi and Matheson got about the same number of holds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... I'm saying that you're in a more, I don't want to say elite position, because as you say, they're both, they're in many cases, they're just as valuable. I would say in 90% of the cases, they're almost as valuable.
Well, I'm not saying they're most valuable. I'm just saying it's the same work.
It's essentially the same work. Now, the leverage can be different. The leverage of a hold can be more valuable than a save. In some cases, you could get a one-run hold that would be much more valuable than a three-run save an inning later.
And you could get a one-run hold where you come in with guys on base and you're facing the heart of the lineup, as opposed to the next guy who comes in
absolutely.
With nobody on base.
Absolutely. Yeah, but all things being equal, we can't, you know,
exactly.
We can't measure those two things.
I'm saying
that the fact that there are more holds, and only one person essentially is going to be assigned, if you have a one guy closing a lot of games and saving a lot of games, there's only one of them. Whereas you could have two guys with lots of holds. So the pressure to be the guy is a little higher. You know, it's sort of like, you know, your argument for Tyrone Woods as MVP over Kosuke Fukudome in 2006, in that people were afraid of Tyrone Woods and people had to make plans, and Fukudome just sort of cleaned up the sloppy seconds. There's something to that. If you put a guy in the number four spot and he performs, yeah, I think that you have to give a little extra credit for that. So I don't think a lot of credit, but a little bit. So I think saves. Now let's say it's 200. Let's say it's 300 saves. If it were 300 saves or 280 saves or something, or holds. It was 300 holds or 275 holds. Yeah, and then, you know, and add in as many saves, you know, and add in the saves as well.
Yeah,
and
he has 25
well.
Career saves. He's got 45
sure.
wins. He's got an ERA of 1.97 career with, you know, almost 490
yeah.
innings.
I think it's a really interesting discussion. I don't think at 200 holds, does he belong in the same group with people who have 200 wins? And I'd say no.
Yeah.
Because those guys are starters. And,
well, it's the 250 saves.
Right. It's the 250 saves, which is a really stupid number anyway. It should have been more like it should have been more like 300.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. I mean, I don't think he's going to get in either. I just wanted to pose the question, and I think it is an interesting discussion. And
it is. It's a great question.
And he has been a really great performer for the Giants, and he hasn't really been all that successful in the stopper role, and I don't think he's going to be placed in it anymore. Maybe on occasion, but. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I would like to see him up for at least discussion and debate
sure.
about it, because I think he's going to really...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have the Player of the Month Awards.
Yes.
The monthly awards. The monthly honor sheet or roll or whatever it is.
The commissioner's list.
Okay.
As opposed to the dean's list.
As opposed to the assistant dean's list, stand after school list.
Yeah, and I think you got three out of four. I think you picked.
Well, I had two batters in each league because I didn't know who they were going to pick.
But you did pick Yuhei Takai.
I picked all of those guys.
And Shoichi Ino of the Yokohama Bay Stars.
Yugi Inagata was my second choice, but I think they were real close because I thought Andre Jones was also a good pick.
Yeah,
would have been a good pick. But on the other hand, you have a guy. Now, and here's the thing. In my heart, Inagata is a better player last month. He was almost as good a hitter. Plus, he could steal bases. Plus, he's a pretty good center fielder, and he's got a pretty decent arm. And you compare that to a guy who's a first base DH, and I'll give it to the guy who can play defense. Yuhei Takai, I thought, was the best choice. Inagata was close, and the two pitchers were easy because they were both 4-0 with decent ERAs.
Yeah. All right, well, good job. Good job on your part. If you guys want to chime in on the debate about Yamaguchi, please do so. You can send an email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Send us an MP3 question or just send us a question in general. And you can also leave a note on the Facebook page, and we'll get to it on the show.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John, for all your work this week.
Thank you, buddy. And again, thanks for the great interview, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.